Every spring, the fourth-year class roasts the faculty affectionately, more or less, at its annual Q party. This year, our graduates took aim at our beloved dean of the chapel, complaining that our hymnal doesn't include all the psalms. Dean Grimm, God bless his heart, participated in the fun. And whether you work at McDonald's like my daughter or decide to become a pastor, complaints are par for the course. And really, the Psalter is full of complaints. The children of Israel were champion grumblers. But what about the imprecatory psalms? You know, the psalms of judgment, calamity, and curses, like we just sang, let him rain coals on the wicked, fire and sulfur and a scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. Should we join David in his sing-along? Let them be blotted out of the book of the living. May his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. Or that most favorite of Beatitudes, blessed be he who takes your little ones and dashes them against the rock. Egads, what a children's sermon. Such songs don't seem, well, they don't seem Christian. Not the kind of thing we would expect to come from the mouth of David, much less David's son, who told us to love our enemies and prayed for their forgiveness. Well, what about today's reading from Zechariah? And this shall be the plague with which the Lord will strike all the peoples that wage war against Jerusalem. Their flesh will rot while they are standing on their feet. Their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongues will rot in their mouths. Was Zechariah a mean-spirited guy? Was he the proverbial hater? No, he simply recognized what we're up against. While the Lord would have all to be saved, even God doesn't always get what he wants. Our Lord says, as the end of days draws near, the land will become dark, and then darker still. So dark that if the days were not cut short, even the elect will fall. So it is. Evil hardens the heart, darkens the mind, turns our countenance into a leer and our grin into a sneer. Evil is a black hole of self-destruction that takes everyone else down with it, a misery that breeds misery, the ultimate enabler. Some say there's no such thing as righteous anger, but really I think such thoughts are not born of love, but of apathy, and perhaps also fear in the face of power. It's easier, safer, not to get involved. If we pray in our closets so as not to win praise, we do well. But if we are afraid to pray in public for fear of what others might think of us, well then, we've got a problem. When the lowly are oppressed, when the innocent are trampled upon, when the little ones are smothered, our blood should boil over, or at least simmer, lest we become stone cold to the suffering of our neighbor. And so it is with the prophet Zechariah. We must learn to say yes to that which is good, and a resounding no to that which is evil, to offer a gentle word to the oppressed, but a word of power to the oppressors. With our Lord, we say, hallowed be thy name. And we add with Luther, curses, maledictions, and disgrace upon every other name and every other kingdom. May they be ruined and torn apart, and may all their schemes and wisdom and plans run aground. With Paul, we say, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And then in the next chapter, we also say with him about those who stifle the gospel, let their eyes be darkened so they cannot see. Feet that bring the gospel are beautiful. Eyes that see Christ are blessed, and tongues that declare his praise are to be treasured. But woe to the blind guides, woe to the whitewashed tombs, which appear beautiful on the outside, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. Just a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, an old man now in his 90s was convicted for his work as a guard at Auschwitz, the concentration camp. After 70 years, he's finally getting what's coming to him, we said. And yet we have an ongoing Holocaust of our own, one that takes the lives of our littlest neighbors. And as we wag our tongues at that old Nazi, our Lord says to us, "Woe to you, hypocrites, who say, 'If we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have taken part with them in the shedding of the blood of innocents.' Thus you witness against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the innocents." Yes, it is good to call evil evil, and to do so takes courage. Courage to face the world. And if we don't call it for what it is, how will they know? How can they repent if they receive only kudos from an adoring world? And when we are afraid, Christ says, "Be of good courage. I am the great I am, and I am with you." But we also need the courage to face the evil within our own hearts. Perhaps that's just as much the reason for our silence. How is it that we live in an age of tolerance and love, and yet seem to be so comfortable with the ongoing Holocaust? How is it that words of peace and love fall so readily from our lips while blood drips from our hands? Because ours is a false peace and an empty love. It's a shield against reality and a fortress against truth, guarding us from the sin in our own lives. To call out the sin of the world is ultimately to call out the sin in ourselves. That's why so many pastors, I think, are silent. But ultimately, there is no compromise with evil, no deals with the devil, no treaty or truce that can hold. There is only the death of death, the renunciation of self, and the turning to Christ, who alone can get us out of the ditches, the graves that we've dug. And as for the enemies of this good news, as for those who would darken hearts, would lead us astray, would destroy our families and our children, well, let their flesh rot while they stand. Let their eyes rot in the socket, and let their tongues rot in their mouths. Which is to say, what is the world to me? And why do I care what the enemy has to say? For we listen to a better shepherd, one who laid down his life for us, as Ezekiel tells us, for his scattered sheep. The words that flow from his mouth are grace and truth. Peace and joy are upon his tongue. And as our Lord comes to us lowly and riding in on a donkey, we cry out, "Kyrie eleison, Son of David, have mercy on us." And with his eyes, he looks down upon us with compassion and love. And as our flesh rots in sin's decay, our Lord offered up his body on the cross and still offers his sacred flesh for the life of the world. Pray now that the Lord would give us eyes to see this clearly and tongues to declare this great love, that we might with Zechariah enter into the land of living waters. And as for the rest, as for the enemies of Christ, let them rot in. Well, let's pray they come around before that. Amen.